Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike. Do you have a question about your health? Dr. Mike can answer your questions. Just email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call now 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
Once again, that's Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com. Your email questions can be long, they can be short, you can put your name, you can be anonymous. I enjoy this part of the program. I want to start with a question about bee pollen. Maybe you've been seeing, commercials and stuff more and more for pollen extracts. And so the question is bee pollen all hype? That's it. That's all I had is bee pollen all hype. No, it's not. So let me back up. I guess it kind of maybe depends on what we're talking about. Okay, now pollen itself it comes from the flowering plants, right? So you can take the plant kingdom and break it up into two broad categories, ones that flower, ones that don't. And if they flower, they make pollen. And so you can get pollen even from grasses and stuff because those are technically part of the flowering plants. So it's not really bee pollen. Pollen comes from the plant itself. The bee just harvests it. And there's other insects that do that as well. So, I did a quick little Google search, by the way. I went on, I just put in pollen, and I just kind of skimmed through some of the results that I came across. And, you know, I think this is one of the areas where I get a little frustrated with the supplement industry. I think we get a little excited about something. We get maybe a little ahead of the game. I found claims from multiple different sites. Pollen is good for, it's an energy enhancer, that was one. It's good for skin, the respiratory system. It can treat allergies. It's an immune booster. It can help with addictions. I mean, the list went on and on and on. And some of them are supported in laboratory studies and clinical trials and animal models, and some of these claims aren't. Doing the research, what I found was that pollen is, when it comes to helping the prostate gland of in men, that has some good research, specifically prostatitis, an inflamed prostate, and then the BPH, the enlarged, benign enlarged prostate. There's some good research in using pollen in improving urination and prostate function. So that's well supported. Other well supported benefits of pollen, the allergies. Pollen, a few small studies showing that nasal symptoms improve with allergies, at least the seasonal allergies. So there was some there. But the rest of these, I think more research is needed. There were some people, talking about the benefits to the cardiovascular system. I didn't really see a lot of hardcore science there. And of course, if one of my listeners has that, please send it to me, and I'd like to review it. But right now, pollen is beneficial in prostatitis, enlarged prostate, allergies. Maybe even it can be used in conjunction with like vitamin D, vitamin C, and just boosting the immune system. That seems to be supported at this point. So it's not all hype at all. There's some good research in pollen, and I think there's going to be more as we learn more about the constituents of pollen. What makes pollen interesting is it has pollen has everything that is necessary to begin life. it does. I mean, they've done some good studies where they've broken down the constituents of pollen. You have amino acids. By the way, all the amino acids. It has carbohydrates, it has good protein, it has vitamins and antioxidants. I mean, it's loaded with everything that's needed to fertilize and begin life in another plant. And so I think the question becomes, what's the balance of those things, and then just using these in clinical trials and see beyond the prostate, beyond allergies, where it leads us. But it does look promising, so it's not all hype. And there you go. That's bee pollen. All right, next question. I'm hearing a lot about EMFs. That's electromagnetic frequencies or electromagnetic radiation, mainly like from cell phones. I'm assuming that's the concern here. And the question is, should I be concerned? So I'm hearing a lot about EMFs. Should I be concerned? Yeah, this is a big question. I mean, I could spend a lot of time on what EMFs are, what some of the theories are of how they disrupt certain metabolic functions in the body. But of course, at what dose, at what level do you have to be exposed to see these kind of things? And those kind of questions aren't perfectly worked out. We know as of today that EMFs, that you, from any electrical device, by the way, it's not just cell phones, it's any electrical device, and we are surrounded by electrical devices. Any device, any EMF, there's some good evidence showing that there could be some bone issues, specifically what is known as calcium efflux, which is calcium coming out of the bone and into the blood supply, causing something called calcinosis, where calcium becomes deposited in other tissues like the arteries, for instance. So we've seen that. We've seen EMFs cause calcium efflux. Now, what does that mean clinically? What does that mean to you right now as a cell phone user or, you know, someone who's on a laptop all the time or, you know, whatever? I don't know yet. I'm not sure what that means clinically, but it's been shown in laboratory studies to cause calcium efflux. So again, more research is needed. We're going to have to see where that goes. So it is a concern. I know a lot of people are mostly concerned about the potential cancer risk with EMFs, but that's not conclusive at all at this point. I think it is something, again, that needs to be studied more, and it is a concern, but there's no conclusions there yet. So we know that we have calcium issues. There may be some cancer risk. Of course, the question becomes what type of EMFs, how close you have to be to the source, how long the exposure has to be. Those are questions we don't have answers to yet. And then there's the flip side of this. I've talked about this term before, hormesis. Hormesis is the study of stressors and the benefit to life and the benefit to health. A little bit of EMF might not be so bad. You know, a little bit of, free radical attack in your body may not be so bad. A little bit of a virus in your body is not so bad. I mean, these little stressors kind of prime your systems, prime your immune system, prime your antioxidant systems, your defense systems to work better. So, that's another side of the equation that we don't talk about that much, hormesis. So at this point, I am concerned about EMFs. I think we are exposed to them at some high levels. Right now, we know that, as I mentioned, that can cause some calcium issues, and there's the worry that it's going to increase cancer risk. And I think we have to, it definitely warrants further study, without a doubt. We have really changed our environment, haven't we, today? I mean, look at all the electronics. I mean, it's just everywhere. And to think that that's not affecting us in some way or some form, I think is a little silly. I think it is affecting us. Now, again, to what degree, I don't have an answer for that yet. But it is a concern for me. And I think it should be for all of us enough to where we put some money behind it, at like the NIH, and we do some unbiased, straightforward EMF studies. And that's the only way that we're going to get answers on this. And then also to study the hormesis part of this, how much EMF might actually be beneficial, is any beneficial. So a lot of questions, is a concern at this point, calcium efflux and potentially cancer risk. Yeah, these things need to be studied. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.